Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, always good to be with you and our listeners on... Well, we tape it at Friday morning, and it's a sunny day, but there's a lot of haze from smoke and humidity around, so what can you do about it?
We have some listener questions today to kick off the show. The first one comes from Chris. Hello, Jim and Bob. We are familiar with ratios that compare the price of gold to various other items, like the gold-silver ratio, or the price of gold compared to platinum, or even the famous 1 ounce of gold equals the price of a finely tailored suit. However, I've not heard of a gold-Bitcoin ratio, which strikes me as a bit odd, as both Bitcoin and gold are considered by many as insurance for fiat currency debasement.
And then he says, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question. I never ever look at gold compared to platinum. Gold to Bitcoin, you're just going to find out which is outperforming the other. And, yeah, that would be an interesting exercise, I guess. Because both of them are... Well, no. Gold is money. Bitcoin is a phenomenon to speculate in. And I don't know that I've seen that Bitcoin is a protection against currency speculation. I take it more as a counter to speculate in. And gold, of course, is a standard for maintaining its value. Well, actually, its value varies depending on what's going on out there, because in a bubble, for the last couple of years going into it, gold's real price declines a little. And then after the bubble is over, gold's real price goes up. Initially for a few years, corrections a few times, but essentially for 20 years. So we're early years of a multi-year bull market for gold stocks based upon a rising real price for gold. And I take this in gold, and it gets more interesting when you deflate it by the CRB and consider that the CRB, the Commodity Research Bureau Index, is a proxy for mining costs. So if mining costs are generally falling relative to the price of gold, the sector's making, gold miners are making more money. And this has now been improving for 7-8 months, generally. So it's already influencing positively gold mining operations. And it's Mother Nature's way of getting real liquidity into the credit markets when on a great bubble. There was so much debt issued, and bonds and junk bonds and everything else that all crashed, thereby destroying that form of liquidity. So then underneath it, as this is going on, gold's real price is going up. Miners are producing more. It gets into the banking system and begins to improve liquidity at a time when crazy instruments have become very illiquid. Thanks for the question.
Well, when I look at Bitcoin, we're one Carrington event away from it being totally erased.
Bloody.
You know, what, right? A big pulse of electromagnetic energy from the sun, and where's your Bitcoin?
Yeah, I imagine it would screw things up, but I don't dwell on that one, Jim.
Or you lose your thumb drive. And you've lost thousands, because that happened to a friend of mine. He moved, and somehow his thumb drive disappeared, and so I guess
it all... He must have walked quickly through a strong electromagnetic field.
He must have.
Me must have, yeah.
We have more questions, this time from Ken in Lexington, Kentucky.
Ooh, yeah.
Home of the Kentucky Derby.
That's right, yeah.
Anyway, we're off to the races here. Bob and Jim, we always appreciate your comments and hope you can help with the following two questions. The first, in your opinion, is the rising price of gold a reaction to inflation or the increasing lack of confidence in governments?
Yeah, that's a good one. Gold has rallied. Gold stocks have rallied even better. And... the old, oh, it's inflation, dollar down, government's bad, Federal Reserve bad, buy gold. Kicked in. And, but as I remind, it's the real price of gold that counts. The business of knee-jerk dollar down, gold stocks up is getting very old and shopworn now. I'm going to stay with the theme that we covered just on the previous question. Gold's real price goes up during a post-bubble depression, and gold miners do well, and at times with discoveries do very well. So I think... you know, it'll still go up. Gold stocks will still go up and down. If you get a crash in the New York Stock Exchange, gold stocks are going to get hit. But generally, let's say like the GDX gold index of gold stocks will outperform the Standard & Poor's over a number of years.
His second question, if we're headed into market turmoil, what's your advice on owning small denomination gold coins or pre-1965 U.S. silver coins?
Oh, that's your own choice. Yeah, that gets you into collector coins and stuff like that. Yeah, always nice to have. But actually, for investors, you don't want to be long in the stock market. You don't want to be long junk bonds. They're going to be nasty. And even long treasuries may not do you any help at all. So we like to get people to look at about a 3 to 4 year term, good grade corporate bond. And you'll get much higher return than on money market stuff, and also the next few years on the recession, the old T-bill rate's going to go to zero again. And if you're in any deposits related to that, your returns will be going down. So as if you buy, say, a four-year good grade corp, you got that income locked in, and in the years to maturity, when you'll get par for it, you won't get too whipsawed on price. So I like the position. And you have to have an account or contact, you know, a full investment dealer who has the ability to trade in bonds, in such corporate bonds, yeah.
And finally, from Kentucky, Ken. In closing, maybe Bob will appreciate the following limerick. The 500-plus Fed staff analysis thinks their rate will be thought of as catalyst. Whether they lower or raise, surely they'd get more praise if they simply engaged in paralysis.
Yeah. Somebody is very clever in coming up with that limerick. Yeah. Nice work, and thanks for sending it. Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Pirates of Penzance thing, of the analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Line.
I don't remember the line from the Pirates of Penzance.
Whether it's a vegetable or animal. Anyway.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have more with Bob Hoy as we take a look at some interesting headlines next.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. The first one from the National Review, $3 trillion to combat climate change, economic folly.
Yeah, that was $3 trillion of dollars. And they can't do anything about changing the weather, let alone the climate. And they're also really weird with the idea that warming is bad for life. We know over the billion years that life has been on this planet that it does very well in warm times and does very poorly in cool times. Just tell me how much life is under a glacier or under the Arctic and Antarctic ice fields, you know. Very little. So the promotion has been staggeringly successful, where they can make nice, warm, friendly warm weather a threat. God, that's something. And then the other one is then to take carbon dioxide, which you need, every life form needs, and without it, like, you get down to 150 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, all life would come to an end. And they're all upset about 420 parts per million. And there's been times back, you know, a few hundred thousand years ago, a million years ago, when it was up to 7,000 parts per million, and life absolutely flourished. So, one, they're completely messed up that warming trend is bad for you. And two, they've got cause where there is no cause. And, it actually, in geological terms, even at 425 parts per million, this is low, unusually low. So, and who knows? The modern society and industry and whatnot could be increasing the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. But actually, that's a very good thing for life, because you can see the satellite photos of the desert expanding from south of the Sahara into the sands and everything getting greener. So it's a plus after all is said and done.
Mount Pinatubo, when it blew up about 10 years ago, erased 10 years of carbon credits within minutes. How are carbon taxes going to control volcanic eruptions?
Right. Well,
or changes in the Earth's orbit.
Actually, a month and a half ago, Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau, raised the tax to end forest fires, and it hasn't worked yet. So this is one of those things. They figure that raising taxes and putting in rules and regulations, you can change the weather. I mean, these guys are incredible dreamers.
Well, Bob, you said back in the 1500s when the Earth went through a cooling phase, they also blamed that on a certain human activity. What was it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in those days in Northern Europe, the witches caused the bad weather.
Oh, and what was the solution?
Oh, learned magistrates, put them on trial, charged and convicted, and then executed them. And there were thousands of witches in Northern Europe executed that way. But nowadays, the movement is all that much more democratic because it's not just witches causing the bad weather, it's men, and even children are causing the bad weather. Mm. So, what can I say?
Yes, just saw a documentary. Germany alone burned 40 to 60,000 women to death. Hoping, I guess, that would warm things up.
That's an astounding number. All
Isn't
I
it?
Know is that it went on for about 1,000 years, and that was also a cooling trend. It was heading into the Little Ice Age. People in climatology decades ago referred to the warming trend as an optimum. So you had the medieval optimum peaked around 1300, then it started to cool. In the 1500s, we were sliding into the Little Ice Age, which got its worst around 1680. And then it's been coming out of the Little Ice Age since, and we're in this wonderful warming trend, and it's still nowhere near as warm for as long as it was during the medieval optimum, or even going back to the Roman optimum, where it was really quite warm until about 250 AD. Then things started to cool a little.
Sure, they're finding Roman artifacts from the retreating glaciers in Europe, coins and swords and so on. So it was warmer back in the days when Hannibal used elephants to march on the Romans.
Well, this is probably why he risked going through the passes.
Yes.
There would be much less snow than at future or earlier cooling conditions. So,
Of course, Hannibal was defeated. We know all about Hannibal because the stories about him were promoted by the general who finally defeated him because he thought it would make him more famous. But we know all about Hannibal. Do you know the name of the general who beat him?
Nope.
Scipio.
Oh, Scipio. Yeah
there. Who could forget good old Scipio?
Yeah.
Headline, Fed rate cuts loom as U.S. job market slows sharply.
Yeah, everybody's getting all excited about Fed cuts. And this is just plain intuition, and it is very wrong. Short rates such as T-bills go up in a boom, and the Fed follows by raising its administered rate. And then and the 3 month treasury bill and the 6 month treasury bill set its high about a couple of months ago, and has declined a little until this week, where it has declined steeper. So we've got short rates going down, which will soon be followed by the Fed. But the problem is that every recession and disaster is accompanied by falling short rates. And we've got a wonderful little segment of a chart from 2008 disaster where you've got the T-bill rate, and it is plunging at the same time, and plotted on the same page as the S&P plunging. So interest, here's the key thing. The market rate of interest, as recorded by the T-bill rate, has turned down steeply. Disaster is inevitable, and the Fed will at some point follow. Now, in 1929, the T-bill rate set its high in that June, and then in heading down was telling the world, or those who were watching, that the party was as good as over. And then you had the New York made its high in January, or sorry, first week in September, and then followed by the crash. Whereas what we have here now is that the party to recent, you can also have a nice seasonal high in May, June. And that's the old saying, sell in May and go away. Well, you don't do that if the stock market's not overbought, but you do it when the market was overbought and this action was screamingly overbought. So this is where we've had a couple of very hard whacks to the market because everybody was just so bullish. And then it is quite likely that there'll be a lot of pressure on the stock markets again after September. That's the typical time. If you're going to have a crash, it'll more than likely be in the fall.
Another headline, Wall Street begs Fed to panic. Goldman sees three consecutive rate cuts. J.P. Morgan hopes for a 50 basis point cut. And Citibank wants even more cuts.
There they are. They want cuts for some strange reason. Top researchers at those top firms really believe that falling interest rates are going to make restore the party. It's just plain wrong.
From Reuters, Magnificent Seven set to shed $1 trillion in value led by Apple and NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah. The market caps there of those stocks got up to trillions. And then you get a nasty correction. And whang, you, as I said, I think, you know, you're giving up. Well, if you're carrying market caps of trillions and you take a good hit and a few of those big stocks, your hit is in the order of trillions itself. So, amazing numbers.
Now, another headline. Inbred gibberish or just mad? Warnings about AI models.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, they're going along about AI. It reminds me, and we've talked about this, right, the dot-com bubble way back when, and where everything was going to be done through dot-com. And all you had to do is take a shell company, put the name on it, and away you went. Well, AI, but I always used artificial intelligence as where you take an ordinary run-of-the-mill PhD in economics and then put them as chairman of the Fed, and immediately they're celebrated as being a genius, you know. And that, to me, was always artificial intelligence.
Headline, major solar company files for bankruptcy after California strips subsidies.
Yeah. Yeah, they were subsidizing it, and of interest, they ended the subsidy. And I'm telling you that, well, I think we're probably getting into trillions of dollars on this nonsense as well, but certainly hundreds of billions on solar and wind cell operations. But I saw an interesting picture the other day of a solar cell field, you know, with all the panels that, on little struts at the right angles, a whole field of them. And a hailstorm came along of the hailstones the size of larger golf balls, and it beat the hell out of them, just absolutely destroyed them. So the sooner we get away from solar and wind power, the more reliable and cheaper power will become.
Well, I see nothing wrong by putting solar panels on buildings to increase your own or less reliance on the grid, because that can go down any time. With BC getting droughts continually now, hydro is not guaranteed. So having some, you know, backup power for yourself, not a bad idea.
Oh, that's fine if you do it voluntarily on your own with your own money. But where it's gone out of control is where governments are spending hugely your taxes on ideas they have. And that's my issue. Well, I got no problem with people at home somewhere rural. Why not put up a solar panel to get some of the power out of the sky? Yeah, no, there's a site that I follow where this guy's got a small, he calls it a ranch in Idaho, and he's so remote from power sources that, and roads are difficult, so he's got quite a few solar panels there, and with proper controls and everything else, and storage batteries, it works for him. Now, then he has a standby propane power generator, you know, when all else fails. So, no, but it's all voluntary. The engineering and circuitry is very good on it, and I admire the guy for doing it.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, let's look forward to next week, and, there will be something interesting going on out there by then, too, I'm sure.
May you live in interesting times.
Oh, that is such a nasty comment.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.